Welcome back. I'm Peter Wood, and I'm the author of Mud Between Your Toes, A Rhodesian Farm, which is a memoir about my life growing up in Zimbabwe, or formerly Rhodesia, in the 1960s and 70s. This is a podcast about family, independence, loss, and above all, identity. I'd like to chat about my background and hopefully set the scene for further chapters and discussions in later podcasts, because basically this is about my journey from the present day Hong Kong where I currently live, back into my early life in Southern Rhodesia, and how I attempted to find my place in a world that had gone slightly awry. Well, it had gone more than slightly awry. After all, in 2001, my family lost everything when President Mugabe threw the white folk from their land. The home that I'd known since my birth, well, it was no longer. I don't want this to be a political podcast, but honestly, we can't ignore the results of Zimbabwe's land reform program, which resulted in the displacement of some 6,000 white farmers and honestly, around about 30% of the entire workforce of the country became jobless and in many cases homeless. Arguably, the benefits of land reform did little to help the man in the street. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit about my book. Mud Between Your Toes is based on my schoolboy diaries, which was written in the 1970s. I know that might seem a little bit strange, and I was probably a strange boy, but I think quite a few people wrote diaries in the 1970s. It tracks back to an earlier time in Africa, and it's important to understand this. It was a time when people thought and behaved differently, not just in Zimbabwe, but all over the world, really. Some people might see it as a more innocent time, I suppose. Perhaps it was. But it was one that was also fraught with danger and misunderstanding. I suppose what I'm asking you to imagine is a gay boy coming of age during a civil war amongst an eccentric community, all thrown together in the middle of the African bush. Well, that's the headline. And frankly, that's what it's all about. But how did it all come about? The book, I mean. Well, there was a cardboard box with Pete Wood's diminishing life scrawled over the top in black marker pen. The word diminishing had been added in italic at a later stage. The box sat in the bottom of a cupboard in my tiny Hong Kong flat for years. I knew what was inside, but was never tempted to open it. It was like a Pandora's box. However, in 2002, a year after my parents had been thrown off their farm, I decided to do just that. And only then did I feel the need to carefully remove the 5 diaries I'd religiously written between 1975 and 1979. Gosh, there were 5 turbulent yet exciting years during my teens, growing up surrounded by the harsh beauty of a wild Southern African farm. And, of course, I was tormented by my homosexuality, and indeed my first sexual experience, which, we'll come to that later. And without a doubt, I was scarred by the civil war that raged on our doorstep. Left to amuse ourselves amongst the snakes, the crocs, abundant wildlife, the odd horny schoolmate, and of course eccentric adults, my diaries often make rather uncomfortable reading as they unravel the confusion and the emotion during that period of my life. Snakes, crocs, civil war. Honestly, as otherworldly as this might seem to many people, beneath the surface, this is just a story about growing up. In fact, each chapter will begin to unravel who I am as an adult right now. It was a masculine world where my mother's friend Isabel Simons would often remind us, children should never cry unless there's blood. But joking aside, it was a time when many friends and relatives were being killed in ambushes and attacks on their homesteads. You had to be tough. And Rhodesia was a country isolated from most of the outside world by travel bans and UN sanctions, and as a result, developed its own form of humor and entertainment and bravado and stupidity. This was no ordinary farming community. Please don't think corrugated iron shacks with pumpkins growing on the roof. Although, I suppose they did exist somewhere. The homes were large and comfortable. The parties were lavish. The holidays and hunting camps unforgettable. In fact, it seemed that much of the time, the kids were nowhere to be seen, gallivanting through the bush. Over the next few weeks, I'll chat about life on Masitwe Farm in Mashonaland when I was a small boy, and my first real friend, a black child called Alec Chimbata, and how, as I grew up, Alec and I became separated by a world where black didn't mix with white, rich didn't mix with poor. Of course, we were constantly reminded that there was no class system in Rhodesia. Well, not like they have in the UK, people told us. But we did have race, and that was, and is, far more insidious. My relationship with my father, whom I called John, was difficult and often hurtful. Yet, despite it all, I could see a man whom I admired and loved. My mother, a beauty in her time, and still is, gave me love, comfort, and a belief in myself. She taught me the arts, the theater, the need to aspire to something great. No wonder I turned out gay. It's not as if my dad didn't provide inspiration. My gosh, he provided it in bucket loads. But his methods were often, well, a wee bit scary. The difference between my two parents couldn't have been more profound, and it was confusing when I was growing up. Yet, it was this difference that built character and substance, and the belief that if you fall over, jolly well pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and for God's sake, don't cry. It was real empire building stuff. Many people ask me where I found the inspiration to write my book. Well, apart from the obvious life experience and from my diaries, there were also a few books which really helped me along the way. Peter Godwin's Mikiwa, Alexandra Fuller's Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, and The Last Resort by Douglas Rogers all beautifully illustrate life in the eastern highlands of the country. But few Zimbabwean authors have written about Mashonaland. There was Doris Lessing, who incidentally lived just up the road from where I grew up. But by the time I came along, she had bolted to Bloomsbury, leaving her husband and the kids. She wrote some of her greatest short stories there. This was the old chief's country and the sun beneath their feet. Of course, her genius was to illustrate that there's a fragility to this bucolic, innocent land, one that could snap at any moment. And also, from Australia, a charming book, Aunts Up the Cross by Robin Dalton. This had an unusually profound effect upon me as it told the story about a household of sophisticated, dotty maiden aunts in the early part of the last century. Many of the tales resonated, reminding me of my own discombobulated family. I've attempted to write in a similar spirit as Gerald Durrell's My Family and Other Animals, because it not only tells the story about animals, but it tells the story about what it means to be human. And of course, as a gay man, there's one book I cannot leave out. Julian Corkle is a Big Fat Liar by DJ Connell made me laugh out loud and certainly inspired my chapters about my hormone-riddled teenage days. DJ Connell captures the angst of a young gay man growing up on a farm in Tasmania to perfection. And later, when I found out that the author was a woman, my admiration was even greater. I've made Hong Kong my home for the best part of two decades. And like many nomads or immigrants, I look back at my past with a certain amount of trepidation, humor, and a great deal of horror. But above all, and I hope you'll find this over the next few weeks, it's the humor that seems to have won the day, made all the more colorful by the remarkable, wonderful people with whom I was fortunate to have grown up with. So, I hope you enjoy my podcasts. Sit back, relax, and listen. Well, that's about it. Thank you so much for listening to me. And remember, you can tune into my new episodes of Mud Between Your Toes via iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Blueberry, and Pocket Casts. Don't forget, you can always buy a copy of my book on both Amazon and Kindle. And I also welcome comments by email on mudbetweenyourtoes@gmail.com. If you want to get involved and you have a good story to tell about those years in Rhodesia, and if you're brave enough to be interviewed for Mud Between Your Toes, feel free to write to me. Goodbye.